hey, everybody's trying to get me to go, I better go, you know. And I'm like Jerry said, it's the best $25 I ever spent, you know. But it was a lot of everything that I heard was real good. The ark floated because Noah built it exactly like God told him to build it. And he was referring to that's the way we should, you know, build our lives, do it exactly like that Bible says. And so, and lots of good things, but one thing I've got to say this. God didn't tell Noah everything. He told him the major stuff, but Noah had to have, you know, some stuff that he knew himself. So Noah put the woodpecker above the water line. I like that.
I like Jesse. It was a great meeting, all Thursday and Friday, Saturday morning and all. But I didn't know. It's probably one of the ministers. I can't remember now. I got to write them down. We had that Rusty Hancock. He was one of the ministers Thursday night. And Scotty Graham, he was Thursday night. And then Friday night and Saturday morning, Brother Graham preached again. And then this Darrell Weber, he was out of, I think he's one out of Louisiana.
Lafayette,
yeah. And he preached on the robe of Jesus. And as one of the good messages I believe I've ever heard man preach. And it's the three layers, the robe was in three layers. I never had realized that. And he spoke about the thing of each layer, and which I can't remember all that, but anyway.
Amen. Yeah. It was an incredible time. There's something about when a bunch of men get together and start worshiping God. Ladies, we're thankful for you, for sure, because it's funny when a bunch of men get together and they're on the platform and they're the only ones singing. I will say that they had like all men singing on the platform and everything, and it was really powerful. It was pretty cool. But ladies, we are thankful for y'all on the platform as well. And so, but I will say that the preaching was absolutely incredible. It was some of the messages just really made an impact on my life, and just the fact of how they've talked about it some already, but how men truly how to lead. They talked on that, and I appreciate men that help young guys like me that are still trying to figure out a lot of things in life and how to be a, I guess, quote, man and husband and all of those things. And I'm just thankful that I had the opportunity to go and get a little educational help.
Well, I'm thankful I got to go, and I thank my wife and my mom and my grandma for changing around their schedules to allow me to go. You know, as Jesse mentioned, it was a great time. Anytime you can get together with these guys, it's a lot of fun. That's just a side benefit of just going. And Dad had to work this morning, but I really enjoyed the time with these guys. You know, you get in those services, and there's so much information in a short period of time that it's hard to retain everything. But you try to pick out bits and pieces of each message. And you know, it was interesting how each message kind of tied itself together, though. They all fed off one another. And Scott Graham, the last message he talked about in Paul's writings, you know, I fought a good fight, finished my course, and I kept the faith. And he focused on the finishing the course. You know, we start a lot of projects down here on earth, and I believe you should keep commitments. And Desiree's got me about 15 items that I've started, and I don't know if I'll ever finish them. But there's one thing we are going to finish, and that's this course of living for God. And that's the most important thing. And, you know, there was one thing he talked about. There was a marathon runner, And one, I think it was the 1985 Olympics, Derek Redmond, he'd already bailed out the last Olympics with a leg injury right at the beginning. Well, this second time, the same thing happens to him about midway through the race. And this is a spectator from the stands that comes down and fights through the security, breaks through the gate, and they're trying to get to him. We'll come to find out it's his dad, you know, and he helps him back up, and they finish it out. And he told him, you know, like, if you want to finish this thing, we'll get to the finish line. You know, if you want to quit, we'll quit. But if you want to finish it, and he tied it in that, you know, God, if you really want to go to heaven and you really want to make it to heaven, he'll help you get to heaven. And that's the most important thing. And I know in my life, at these men's conferences make you want to be a better husband, a better dad, a better son, better friend, better saint.
Amen.
help you, pastor. The most important thing that I can do for my family is make sure that I get there and that they get there and we finish this thing. So I appreciate I got to go.
The devil will try to do anything to keep you from going to church, to conferences, or whatever. I got to go Thursday night, and the traffic on the way over there, it almost discouraged me from going back, because I drove back and forth, and I was like, man, is it even worth it just fighting the traffic on 30 and 635 and 5 o'clock rush hour? And Friday, I wrestled with it all day. Should I or should I not go back? And I ended up going, and I was glad I did. But one of the services that stuck out to me the most was, I guess it was Brother Lee Wells, that he talked about Saul and Jonathan and Mephibosheth. And, you know, he had a handicap that he wasn't entitled to anything, but whenever he went to David, and David restored everything that Saul had promised for him, and just because we come into churches with handicaps and stuff, it doesn't matter where I was at in that world, God's going to restore to me whatever that I don't deserve, but what he's going to restore to me the things that were promised to me. And I'm thankful for that because of the life that I lived. And one of the key important things, as Pastor had told me, that up on the platform there were three ex-offenders up on the platform, and they were singing and praising God. And it doesn't matter about the handicap that they had out in the world, the problems that they had, because God's restored their life, and that's the way that he's going to do us. It doesn't matter what you've got as a handicap, God will restore it to you if you'll just trust in him, believe in him. And it's as powerful service as you get to go to. I'm not much of a note taker, but I run out of paper. I mean, I couldn't, in my old age, in my life, I've burned a lot of brain cells, and I can't remember everything, so I've started taking notes now, and now I'm running out of paper. And it's this, in school, I was not a studier, but now, it's the things of God that's got my attention to where, you know, I've got to remember this. I've got to remember this because I've got to pass this on. It ain't something that is just meant for us to keep there at men's conference. It's for us to take out to this world. It's for me to take into that prison and share with my brothers and my sisters here. And I'm just thankful I got to go.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, gentlemen. And one of the things they wanted to tell you was Brother Graham said, how many of your wives remind you don't have all that stuff finished? There was a lot of humor there at that moment. Brother Seth Williams, we're so glad you brought your wife home. Would you come and join us in testifying about God? Has God helped you manage her?
Amen. I think God sent her to manage me, not the other way around. And I couldn't make it without her. I'm thankful for my wife. Thankful for the children that she has blessed me with. We're fixing to have another one on the 30th. I'm privileged for that. But most of all, I'm blessed to have a wife that not only loves me, but loves God. Teaches our children to love God. That's the first thing both our kids said. Daddy, can we go to Sunday school? I said, yeah, so that's where they are right now. So that's why you don't hear a whole bunch of noise over here. So our children are in Sunday school. But there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like being amongst God's people and worshiping the Lord, no matter where you go, I didn't get to go to the men's conference. We're in a different section. So it was a different men's conference. We didn't go to that one. But It's nothing like getting together with people that love God and are there to worship God, because God inhabits the praises of his people. You know, oftentimes we show up to church and we've got our weights and we've got our baggage and we've got our burdens and our problems. Don't get me wrong, life happens to everybody. Circumstances and situations, you name them. There's probably people all across this building today that you just don't feel it. You're not feeling like yourself. You're not feeling good. You're not hurting. But if you could ever just muster up enough strength, enough just to say Jesus, just to begin to worship. When you begin to create that atmosphere of praise, God looks down and God can work past your circumstance. Hey, if they're willing to get beyond themselves and to worship me, God said, I'll step in and take care of that problem. And today, the generation in which I'm a part of, it's saddened to see the things that are going on, and you hear people talk. But let me tell you something, church, this isn't just all bad generation. There are still young men and young women that love the Lord, that are desiring to worship God and to serve God. Brother that was leading service today, I'm terrible with names, they slipped me, I do apologize, but he was talking about our politics and the way the world is shaping, and I began to think, the Lord showed me something the other day. I was sitting on the platform in Deweyville, and God began to talk to me, and I began to think about the lepers that had to stand outside of the city. They weren't allowed in amongst everyone else. Don't worry, that's thunder, that's not my voice, I'm not that powerful. It's okay. They had to stand outside the city gates, and anytime anyone would approach them, they would have to shout, unclean, unclean, as so the people could hear them from a distance, not to mix themselves with leprosy. And our world and our people today are diseased with sin, diseased with pain and things that's going on in the world and bad choices and bad decisions, so much so as if they would have to holler, unclean. Unclean, because you don't want to mix your life with that sin. You don't want to mix your life with that disease, the ailment of this world. But let me tell you something. That same Jesus that healed the leprosy, that same Jesus is in this house this morning, and he's looking to heal somebody's life of sin. He's looking to deliver somebody out of the bondage of the chains that the devil has wrapped you up in. He is still a chain breaker. He will tear down every wall. He will restore hope to the hopeless situation, strength to those that are weak, peace to those that are troubled. If you'll just lift your hands with me this morning and say, God, if you're going to do anything, I want you to do it in my life. If you're going to change anybody, let it be me. I don't know about you, but my sincere prayer today is, God, let me leave here more like you. Let me leave here better today, God.
One more voice.
So, yeah, I guess I'll testify now, since I almost got forgotten, but not quite. yeah, like every one of the men said, it was a wonderful time. I encourage anyone, any man next year to make it a point to take time out of your busy schedules and go next year. Kind of a segue from Brother Jeff, and it was on the side of us bringing something home with us, and one of the revelations I'd like to hope to show some encouragement to anyone in this house that may be feeling down, or maybe you know, you just don't feel it. You feel like, you know, you may feel like nothing today, or you may know someone who's dealing with depression or having issues. And the speaker was speaking just out of the Genesis 1 and 1. And what he said was, you know, just about everyone knows Genesis 1 and 1, you know, how in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void, had nothing, and then started creating. Well, in that revelation, I realized that he had nothing, right? And he created something. And I'd like to tell you guys that if you feel like nothing, if you feel like there is absolutely nothing that God can do with you because of your past circumstances or whatever, that is perfect for God. He can create something out of that nothing. And so I just want to pass that revelation that I had, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Praise God. I think the ultimate will be in the fact that God inspired each of us to truly try to be better men. And let's look forward to a greater future, because as we become more one with Him, there is no doubt about the greater light that will shine into darkness and help amplify His future for every life. Could we praise Him together? Thank you, Father. We love you today. Everything you're doing, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, it's adding up to create that church you died for, that you crawled out of that grave and said, I will give power to you through my Spirit. I praise you for this assemblage today, men and women that have gathered in this house. And I pray as we receive the tithe and offering, that you would bless commensurately. Let the thoughts of heaven fill the thoughts of man. Let the glories of the heavens fill the voice of the people. Let the future of the heavens declare your glory for their life. In Jesus' name, God bless you today as you give as unto the Lord. Thank you for everything you're doing.
Jesus, I've got to say that I'm loving you more every day through every trial that you bring me through. My love grows stronger and stronger for you. So with all my heart, Lord, I say I'm loving you more each day. Oh, Jesus, I've got to say that I'm loving you more every day through every trial that you bring me through. Stronger for you. So with all my heart, Lord, I say I'm loving you more each day. Oh yeah. Oh, Jesus, I've got to say that I'm loving you more every day through every trial bring me through. Lord, my love grows stronger and stronger for you. So with all my heart, Lord, I say I'm loving you more each day.
Did you get the third Sunday? A couple of things prior to moving into the lesson, and I'm sorry that everybody's not here. The youth service will be taking place tonight, but if you would pass this on as best you can, I cannot thank you enough concerning all you do, but particularly in the light of last Sunday evening, your cards, letters, statements of appreciation of the ministry that my wife and I have provided to the furtherance of your eternal home and glory were so appreciated. I am not so short-sighted as to think that my fleshy nature was the cause of such an overwhelming event of love and offerings. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and it came through clearly by so many. Keep preaching, keep praying, keep exhorting, keep the image of Christ clear and our future bold. a quote from Paul's writings in Heart today because it was so appropriate. Grace be unto you. Peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day I got here until now, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch both in my difficulties and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel or the preaching, ye are all partakers of his grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus unto the glory and praise of the Almighty God. I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened to us have fallen out rather to the furtherance of his gospel. Could we praise him this morning for a union that he has built that is going to bring about his glory and his future for our life? Thank you, Father, for this people. I praise you today. I praise you today. I try to every Sunday bring something fresh, even if we're in a continual area of a study, and I believe God has got us on a track. I witnessed over and again the many statements from various messages that were preached at the men's conference that identify with where we are. I want to read another statement to you that I feel that the Lord has given me for this church. And it's based on some things that are directly from the word of the Lord. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Christmas became a reality. It was not an event, but it became an event. And we have become part of that prophecy. So long we have enjoyed the beauty of this prophecy that was once futuristic. Imagine 700 years waiting on that prophecy to come to pass. It was prophesied by Isaiah 700 years before it occurred. And 700 years the earth lived with a cloud that said, I'm going to give you future. By occasionally, suddenly, a happening, an event of history. And now we celebrate it annually. We call it Christmas. But the truth is, it was the fulfillment of prophecy that unto us a child would be born. Unto us a son would be given. Unto us a future would have a door in it. And we would be able, by proxy, to walk through that door that Jesus Christ opened. For 700 years, the earth lived with that prophecy. About that same time, prophecy declared that this child would die for the sins of the world. We have celebrated that event also. Each time you see a cross, you realize and know he did come. He did die for a purpose that identifies with what he did, that in him we die out to self and we live in the Spirit, and began to take upon us that rapture power. Other prophecies have been fulfilled as well that have come to pass. we now live under another cloud of more prophecies that will produce according and after the accuracy of the Almighty God. Just as sure as Christmas happened, I can tell you the rapture of the church will happen. You will not have to put up with this preacher much longer. You will not be bothered by the call to consecrate your life completely to Christ much longer. All hope will be sealed in the vault of historical events. Decisions will have reached their destiny. What you decide today will determine where you go tomorrow and forever. Never will a coffee shop hold meetings on who is right and who is wrong again. We'll know without a doubt then. There will be no more questions who had it and who didn't have it. There will be prayer meetings of all things. What should have been will be. Men and women will pray and they will call on God. But the cross and Pentecost will be silent. It will be history. Only the echo of Abraham and the rich man in Luke 16 will remain. They will reiterate the same thing that the rich man did in his destiny. The judgment of the rich and the famous will no longer affect the attitude of our life, men, women, and our children. It's over. Completely, every prayer that could do some good for eternity will have taken you into eternity's fullness. All rebellion against truth will seem so utterly frustrating. Why? Will fill the millions of minds when it dawns on them there are no more answers. I did what I wanted to do, and I received what I wanted to have. I landed where I aimed with my thoughts and my ideas of what life was all about. Prophecy has lingered long in America. We have lived under the canopy of the call of the blood, the word, the name, and the Holy Spirit. The call of the king and the kingdom have reached as far as they could in my life and your life. How many times will we be how many times things will be remembered over and again in the torment of those who chose a destiny of their own? While on the other side, there will be great rejoicing for millions of millenniums. A forever waits on those who choose their destiny to be Christ. His grace, his teachings, the teachings of the Christ. Those who chose to make a life different than that in which they were born. First, at that time, all practice sessions will seem so worth it. Right now, they seem routine, redundant, renewing of the Holy Ghost. That doesn't seem so important to many. But at that time, separation from the world and its influence will become a thrill beyond measure. A new body that will never again suffer and will be ours forever. Not one memory will ever connect us with us except the victories of Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And sin has been overcome with all of its lust one final time. I am encouraged today to be able to come to you in the hope of a best world and a best life here, but for sure, a best of all in the near future. The dedications that you have made and others have made fun of will be so wonderful very, very soon. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. As in all else, we get to it sooner than it seems. You would have to look over your shoulder to see how fast time is flying by. It doesn't seem to be going so quickly when you look into your future. But when you look over your shoulder, Sister Jessie Bolton, how long does it seem since you took that man's hand in marriage? Not long. Do you remember what you wore the first day y'all were married? What you wear doesn't make that much difference. It's who you marry and how you get married that holds you together. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here today to advocate to you that prophecy has been fulfilled over and over and over and over. What in the world would make us think that the rest of the story is not to be revealed soon? I am here to tell you that when the Bible said, make your calling and election sure. He was not playing a joke on anybody. He knows no way to play games with the mind and the heart and the soul of men. He is the Lord. He didn't die on the cross to show you his bravado. He died on the cross so you could experience his bravado, so you could experience the courage to face every new day, to face every new challenge. It is the voice of God that is coming in this hour to help elevate the story of life in Christ Jesus. So today we do not gather just to go through another routine. We gather in this house today to make sure our decision was accurate. I want to be like him. I am going to be like him. He is my hero. He remains my hero. I have nobody on this earth that has done for me what he has done, and I want to learn of him so I can emulate him. Could we pray? All you have to do is look around and see the appetite of men. There are hungry people that are willing to say, do, and become what they have never thought they would do. They are aiming their appetite at the wrong thing. A president cannot heal our homes. The city fathers cannot give us the future that we deserve. There's only one thing that can do our faith what needs to be done, and that is the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word of the Lord. How our souls ought to aim our appetite. That's where I'm headed. I see men and women scrambling for everything. They will do everything just to get in the right lane where traffic is moving faster. A lady yesterday nearly run me off the road. A lady. Ladies didn't used to be that bold driving. All you got to do is go to Dallas to see what's happening to the women over there. Hello? I'm not making it right for men to do wrong. I'm just saying that it's a new generation. People are hungry to get somewhere, and they want to get there quick. And if they don't get there quick, they'll run over you. Hello? Am I kidding you? I'll go to Walmart. Watch them. Silver-haired ladies can push a buggy quicker than you can imagine. They see you starting to get there. Man, they go into double time. Ladies and gentlemen, I am submitting to you today that he has prepared a future for you that will satisfy every appetite in your body and your mind, a peace that passes understanding, a joy that's joy unspeakable and full of glory. The riches of his inheritance belong to those who care enough to aim their hunger in the right place. My soul, O Lord, hungers for you in a what? Dry and a thirsty land. Is there any doubt about it? With what's happening in yours and my world, is there any doubt the drug addictions, the alcoholism, the lying, the cheating, that there's not a hunger to get ahead? To get beyond, to get past. All of that comes. If you're looking at all, you will see the appetite to lie, cheat, and steal as a measure of trying to get ahead of what you're living in. That's the reason that he warned us of a generation that would look to themselves for their answer and quit looking at the cross. We dare not try to wait until another perfect man come. There is only one perfect man, and his name was Jesus. He already showed us the way. All we've got to do is learn the way that he lived. That's right. So today, we're moving forward into this lesson. We're going to just quickly go over this part here where every message is designed to teach and empower. Every classroom is designed to teach and empower intellectually. There is no smarts any greater than serving Jesus. Imitating his truths is the most intellectual way to advance into satisfying the true appetite of your soul. Coming to a faith that will actively empower divine spirits. I wish somebody would say divine spirits. Spiritually minded. In asking myself, asking ourselves, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Was it an action of faith? Was it a word of faith that I spoke to my family? What did I do that for? Why did I do it? Somebody say spiritually minded. We have got to come to the place where we understand why we're not understanding the word of the Lord. We've got to come to the place where we go ahead and accept truth, because only truth will help us to understand the victory of the Lord. It's not a matter, if you could understand the word without the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't need the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into truth. I'm watching people, they say, well, I just don't understand this and I don't understand that. Without the leadership of light, the Holy Spirit, you're not going to understand it. But how many of you, as a young person, did not understand your mother and daddy until you became one? Hello? You don't understand God till you become part of God. Obedience is the thing that takes us into a union with him. You're listening to sermons all over the world that can tell you about him. It's like going to a football game or a baseball game and you're sitting in the stands. You didn't practice, you didn't play, you didn't do anything to get yourself, but you feel the victory of the guy that hits the home run in the stands. And people are sitting in church and they feel the victory as they hear statements about Jesus, but they don't become a participator with that victory. And so they go home and they live in the same stuff that they've always lived in. It's not about how good the guy can hit the ball, and it's not about how a good guy can preach. It's, does the truth come to us? Are we receiving truths that we can participate in and become one with the Father and become procreative in our world? Let's pray. The Bible said, and we discussed it four Sundays ago, but when the Bible said he had reduced the powers of hell to their place in the world, where do they belong? He shall bruise the head of Satan, and the Satan's head shall bruise his... Somebody say, under our feet. You're not going to get rid of problems, but you can get on top of them. Young or older people, you are empowered to reproduce Christ in your mind, body, and home. No joy greater than finding new dimensions of deity. How long has it been since you hungered until you found the pantry of God's revenue and glory, authority, and privilege fresh? How long has it been since you woke up and you looked in the pantry of your mind and heart and saw and realized, this is the day God made, and I will come out on top? We are victors through Christ. There are people looking out of prison walls that see people living in freedom and wondering why they don't. They breathe the same air. They went to the same high school. They learned various things the same. They speak the same language, and they're looking out of prisons. Let me explain to us the prison that humans are living in. Somebody say, this flesh. In this flesh dwells no good thing. Jesus said, if you want to live in the perfect law of liberty, you got to kill the works of the flesh. Those works of the flesh imprison the most focused student at church. I don't care how many times you go to church a week. I don't care how many times you offer things that sound like a prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that until you get the victory over this flesh, you're going to be looking through the prison bars. But there is a victory because there is a door. And when we crucify the flesh, which Paul said, I have to do it daily. If that man had to do it every day, don't think we're not pestered by TV, pestered by movies, pestered by stars, pestered by all kind of critics that want to criticize you dancing at church, and they want the liberty to dance in drunkenness and sickness of sin, passions of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, it's high time for the church to rise up in the name of Jesus and accept the truth as valid and victorious and walk out of the prison that flesh has incarcerated us in. How much do you think it's going to mean to us that our kids look like the world when they're looking out of hell? That they know how to act like the world, dress like the world, talk like the world. I'm not interested. I want them to talk about the blood. I want them to talk about a name that's above every name. I want them to learn how to shout and dance about the right stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, it is high time that the church rise up and take its position in the world. We are the light, or we are darkness. I'm refusing to live in the dark. I know in whom I have believed. I know He is able. He is able. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. I wish somebody would pray right now and tell God, I'm going to join you in crucifying my flesh. It's not going to dictate my future another day. It's not going to tell me how to live, how to dress it, how to make it look so good that other women and other men will want an invitation to it. No. I am not working toward the flesh. I am working toward the person that really lives inside this flesh. And that is the one that gets hurt feelings and the one that can experience victory in a prison. Let's pray. I wish somebody just go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. There is a revival about to burst out of this auditorium. I'm talking about a river that's going to run out yonder into the dry places. I'm talking about a river that's going to fill your home and make it a lake. A refreshing where never is dry. There's always peace there. There's always joy there. There's always victory there. There's always enough bread, enough and to spare. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost alive in every part of our life. Not a part-time, once-a-week deal where we go and sense the glory of a victory that God hit another home run. I'm not talking about a cute sermon. I'm talking about a power of truth that liberates us from this flesh and gets us into Holy Ghost living. until every day we live. Our kids look at your flesh under dominion, and they look at my flesh under commitment, and they look and see this flesh no longer rules here, that the glory of the heavens now rules. Thanks be unto God. I will praise Him with my whole heart. Listen to the psalmist. I cried unto God. Somebody say, I cried to the source of life. God, Father, all talks about the source of life. Whenever you refer to the word the Father, you refer to the to God, you're referring to the very source where your first breath came from. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I cried all the way back to when I was born, and I said my voice, and even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear. Somebody say, He's listening today. Do you think for 1 minute with seven eyes He's missing out on anything you're doing, anything you're saying? With the seven spirits of God, that the glory of the heavens are right now listening for your utterance. It may be a soft prayer, God help me to get it. It may be a quiet, God help me to get it. But God, I promise you, is listening into this auditorium, and He's looking all over this to see every heart that is turned toward Him. He is looking to do what this man found. He gave ear unto me, and in the day of my trouble, somebody say, in my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night. This man was terribly messed up. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. But my soul refused to be comforted because I was going by the flesh. I remembered God, and I was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I can't even say it like I want to say it. I got so much going on in my life, I can't even iterate it. I can't even define how bad life is. I can't help tell you how frustrated I am with life. That's this man. He said, I can't even speak about what's going on in my world. I have considered the past, the years of ancient times, and I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit and made diligent search. I didn't go to the altar and say, God, I wish the rest of the church would get it together. I went to that altar and I said, God, you give me a clean heart, and God, you give me a clean mind. I'm not waiting on anybody else. I've got to have revival in my heart. I've got to have revival in my soul. I've got to have newness in my life. I'm not waiting on anybody else. I'm telling you, I'm tired of waiting. I'm a hungry preacher. I want victory for you. I want glory for you. I'm not shutting up. I'm here to tell you, hell's going to have to listen to the cry of another hungry preacher. Just because you know He's alive, why don't you stand and give Him a little praise right now? Woo. While you're standing, let me just tell you something. While you're standing, the Holy Ghost just shared this with me. You want to know how anxious He is? He said, I want to tell you, right now, I am interceding for that future you just stood for. That's right. The Jesus Christ you saw on the cross, the Bible said He is right now at the right hand of the source of all life, pleading, God, give it to them. God, give them the heart to receive it. God, give them the ear to receive it. God, give them the mind to perceive it. Oh, God, let them get it in their hands, heart, and feet. Oh, the trail. God bless you as you're seated. That this has led me this far. How many of you know you've got a history worse than what you're going through right now? The same God that gave you your start is going to give you your finish. He is still Alpha and Omega. He is still the beginning of anything good. If you ever felt the refreshing of being forgiven, I'm here to tell you, He's ready to forgive you of anything else. If you ever felt the refreshing of a fresh thought, He is ready to refresh your thoughts. My cup runneth over. Listen to the book of a man. He that despised Moses' law died, somebody say, without mercy, under two or three witnesses. I've had days in my life when more than two or three things witnessed that I was not living in his victory. Results is a witness for or against the spirit that is happening in our home. Now, don't go to flesh again, because I promise you, in this flesh dwells no good thing. Paul and Silas were in a literal jail. The outsiders would say, if they had the real God, they wouldn't be in jail. But the spiritual person don't look at the situation. The spiritual person listens to the voice of faith. So while they were in a physical jail, and while you are in a physical wreck, so to speak, things are not like you'd like them in the physical, but inside your spirit, there's a song. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my refuge. In Him will I trust. And the victory of any situation starts in the spirit. No man can see the spirit of what's happening. They see you in your discomfiture. They see you held back by things going on financially, physically, and emotionally. And they see all of that, and they say, man, their God must be dead. But when they hear your song, they understand He's not dead. The Lord is my deliverer. He came once, and He's coming back for somebody who still got the faith. Somebody who's still trusting in Him. Somebody who's still believing in Him. And your kids are going to hear the song. They're going to hear the statement. The workers on your job are going to hear the voice of the Spirit. You may look like you're in a prison, but I promise you that they were not in a prison spiritually. While their flesh was weak and they could not break the bars, their spirit was strong, and they identified with the prophet Isaiah. He said, I want to tell you, when you go through the fire, I'm going to be there. When you go through the flood, I'm going to be there. And I will break in sunder the gates of brass and the bars of iron. And I will give you the perfect law of liberty. And you shall not be held back. Your flesh may have to stay in a location for a while, but your Holy Ghost is going to take you into a mental and a spiritual victory that no man can stop. I'm preaching to you a Jesus that a graveyard couldn't hold Him. And man's discomfited mental capacity could not stop Him. I'm here to tell you, the religious world couldn't even stop Him, because religion can't go where Holy Ghost and fire can go. I'm preaching to you today that He is alive as much as He's ever been, and He loves you. Somebody say, without mercy. I wish you'd tell them there's plenty of mercy. Tell them you and Wanda use it all the time. Of how much sorer punishment. I cannot imagine living this close to an altar that can change everything in our heart and spirit and not take advantage of it. And the lust thereof. Every war in our home starts with the lust of the flesh. What flesh wants. I know that's not cute preaching, but it's powerful preaching. It will give you that future you desire. I promise you, they can't
battle enough laws. They can't give enough charity out of the White House. The cross is the only place you can find the charity and the benevolence that will literally rescue your soul. I'm anxious today to see the results of the Almighty.
If you live for the flesh, this kind of preaching will be awful. But if you live for the Holy Ghost and fire that's going to resurrect you out of a dead grave, then you're going to enjoy the rest of the story. For we know Him. Somebody say, we know Him that saith, vengeance belongeth to me. I don't have to avenge myself of my adversaries. Let those people cheat you that want to cheat you. Let them do what they want to do. Don't you let them rob your tomorrow by getting mad and letting your flesh take over and think I'm going to use my flesh to destroy them. You let God have them, and you're going to be free to go on to the high levels of life. It's all in Him. We see that in Jesus. It was the religious crowd that cut Him. It was the religious crowd that beat Him. It was the religious crowd that did Him in. The religious crowd that made fun of Him, that called Him an occult. Don't you worry about what people call you. You know, if you're not a liar, how many liars do we have here today that practice it regular? If you're not a liar, what difference does it make if somebody says you're a liar? They have just become one. If they were just starting then, they have become a liar if you're not. But whatever they call me, I'm not going to become that to prove them that they're right. You don't have Christ. I'm not going to act like a flesh bond again just because they don't recognize I'm living in Christ. I'm not waiting on the world to vote on my Savior. I know in whom I have believed. He is my Lord. He is my God. He is my refuge. He is my hope. He is my forgiveness. He is my sanctifier. He is all in all. I will worship Him from the moment I get up until the day I go to bed. I'm here to tell you He's worthy of all our praise, because He alone can save us from this corrupt flesh. We know Him. He didn't wait till I got good to wrap His arm around me. Wrap your arm around Wanda right there and act like you love her. Oh man, that's just puppy love. Oh, we talking getting right now. I'm not talking about touching Jesus at church and keep Him at arm's length. I'm talking about taking Him home, put Him in the car, put Him in your vocabulary, put Him in your brain, put Him in your soul, put Him in your spirit. I'm not talking about something that's a casual, intimate moment. I'm talking about living unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith, the grace that's going to teach us how to negotiate every curve. The Lord shall judge whose people? Everybody He made. It's still a fearful thing to be in the hands of a living God. And this is what the book said. He's not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. It's a call to remembrance the former days. In that which, does anybody remember the first time you met Him? Does anybody remember the first time you really realized, I'm not God? Does anybody remember when the day you woke up and realized you weren't God? You couldn't provide the strength to face a little midget devil? When I woke up and realized what Paul realized, the good that I would do, I do not. So I call on a memory of a God that struck me down on the road in Damascus, and there He smote me so I would have to look up. It's in our trouble that we typically learn to call on greater strength. And I tell you again, drugs and alcohol, lying and cheating, promiscuous sex, dressing like the greatest notable in the world is not going to get you the peace that passes understanding. But if you can find that old rugged cross and you can die out to flesh and you can find a place at the cross and say, you called me to die out with you so I could live in you, a new creature. I am now in Christ, a new creature. I don't live unto myself any longer. I live unto the work of the Spirit. You said if I would follow you and worship you with my heart, soul, mind, and strength, all these other things would be added. And I am here to testify to you that to the best of my ability, I have never sacrificed one thing on this earth that has not turned into multiple powers in my mind and spirit. We ought to praise him right now. I'm telling you, just for the chance, just for the opportunity, just for the hope that lies in him. I want to say it again. The world's going to see you in trouble. But Christ is going to see you in him. And he's going to deliver you just as he did Paul and Silas from the jail. And just as he did the Hebrew children. It's wonderful to talk about that. But I want that power working in my life. It don't do me much good to know they got out of their situation. You think it does me much good to see somebody else living in victory and I'm still over there? Pitiful, pathetic. I want somebody to preach me out of my prison. Somebody say, preach me out of my flesh. Preach me beyond my flesh. Don't you let me live in my flesh and hope that I can make this flesh work the work of God. In this flesh dwells no good thing. Every work of the flesh has got to be overcome. Memorize the works of the flesh in Galatians, the 5th chapter, and memorize the fruit of the Spirit. You will know when you should expect all the victory, when that fruit's starting growing on the tree. Don't you ever forget he cursed that fig tree because it had leaves, but it didn't have fruit. Partly, whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. I don't care what movement tells you, you're not going to have tough times ahead. Listen to what Paul is reminding these people of. You were made a gazing stock. People looked at you and laughed. That's one ahead. Let him shout a little bit, Brother Jeremy. You're in control of that flesh. That flesh not going to control. Just shout a little bit. Glory to God. Give you glory. That's right. You know what God thinks about that right now? God honors that because that's obedience. That is absolutely, you say, well, you just made him do it. No. I know him. He's got it inside of him. He is thankful to God. I wouldn't call on just anybody in this building. I'm here to tell you that God is calling all of us to praise him because he gave you the breath you got up on this morning. He's calling you to praise him because he gave you the food you ate this morning. He gave you the car you drive today. It is fallacy on our part not to spend time praising him. You were a gazing stock. People rode by and said, that church where they all dance and shout and talk in tongues. And I've seen them. They go through the same hell we go through. Just understand this. They go through it. Somebody say, I'm on my way through the jail. I don't care where you find yourself physically today. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you're coming through it. I'm here to preach to you today. Your heart's going to be healed. Your mind is going to be set free. Your flesh is going to experience a victory that comes from the Holy Ghost and no other source. Whilst you became companions of them that were so used. All you got to do is look at the Bible and see everybody that is noted as a victor went through hell. If you want to know if you're on the right track, hell's not trying to stop the drug addicts. He's already got them in prison. Hell's not trying to stop the cursers and the liars. He's already got them in prison. I'll tell you who's trying to imprison you, sir, because you represent to two kids a future that man cannot give you, and only the Holy Ghost and the blood of the cross and the work of the Spirit can give you that future. And I'll tell you, he'll do anything he can to get you stop praising him and to stop worshiping God. He'll put you in a prison and tell you nobody loves you, and tell you that the preacher's against you, and tell you your wife's against you, and tell you your husband's against you. He'll do anything he can to get you to believe that this flesh can deliver you. I want to tell you, I don't care how many people get the Holy Ghost around you, flesh can't deliver you. But the Holy Ghost and the blood and the word and the name can get you free from anything. As it was said last Sunday evening, Job said it this way: oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. I wish somebody'd stand up and say that. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't make it clear. Verse 25, the new one. There you go. And what? And though after my skin worms, you have got a decadence going on in your body right now that was declared in the book of Job. The skin worms are all in it. You don't get purged from that when you get the Holy Ghost. Only your spirit becomes new. That's why he talks about being born of the Spirit, because being led by the Spirit. Because if you go back to letting flesh lead you after you talk in tongues, you just in the same situation you were. We're not letting the flesh dictate our future. I'm not waiting on people to praise my flesh. The way I look, the way I talk, the way I walk, the way I live and all of that stuff, that's God's business. He's now the captain of my salvation. He's now the head of my life. He is the mind and the heart and the spirit of my entire future. In him I move and live and have my being. I am not on my own. I am in Christ, a new creature. That ought to be shouting room for any apostolic. I am not on my own. My flesh can't stop me. My flesh cannot stop. And the lust of that flesh. And I no longer live after the flesh, but I live after the Son of Man who hath went to the cross in my behalf. Whom I shall see for myself. How many of you know that your physical flesh don't see the storm that your emotion experiences? Say it again. Your physical eye does not see the storm that your emotion experiences. All of a sudden, what the inner eye has picked up shows up in the complaining voice. I don't know where God is. Somebody say, God is. That's all you got to know to understand what I'm about to tell you. God is. There, you can't take one step and get away from him. One step don't take you out of his presence. A thought can take you out of the government of his presence. Connects what is available.
right here. You can get forgiveness in your car. You can get forgiveness in your house. You can get forgiveness in the altar. It is just sometimes good for others to know that you went to the altar so they can understand that you committed that stuff called flesh to the master. But the truth is, God is. God is healing. God is victory. God is love. God is power. God is. And I promise you, as close as your next heartbeat, the Holy Ghost is that close to you right now. You really don't have to go to church to find God. But going to church helps integrate you into the body, and you learn how to participate in Him working with each other, and we become one people after His name. God don't decide later He's going to heal you. He decided when He put the, let Him beat His back. By His stripes ye were healed. Flesh holds us back from believing God is going to do that. Your prayer denies flesh its voice in your life. Your faith supersedes what flesh can offer you and moves into the spiritual arena where healing is living. I'm telling you today, it's impossible for God to lie. He has got healing alive right now, and for every one of us, He's got healing. But here's what flesh conveniently tells us. And we believe it where the Spirit of the Lord is concerned. But I don't know if you remember being broke or not, but I remember being broke. I'll never forget one time a friend of mine and I invited my wife and her cousin out to eat. I mean, out to get a cold drink. We invited them particularly. We told them, would you like to go out and get something to drink tonight? And on the way to get something to drink, they started talking about hamburgers and French fries. You talk about two nervous guys. Neither one of us together, putting our money together, we only had enough money for one hamburger and one Coke. We'd already put our money together. And they're talking about French fries and hamburger and something to drink. That was one day God gave us a holy laugh. We got to Bayer's Grill on Hollywood, and both of us were just laughing like crazy. And finally they said, what in the world are y'all laughing about? Well, that was like opening the door. Well, we don't want to tell you. Oh yeah, tell us. It's got to be worth it.
Well, we don't want to tell you.
Yeah, come on, tell us.
It was the hardest thing in the world to look at them and say, we're broke.
There ain't gonna be no hamburgers. And you know what? It was one of the best moments in life because we shared. They were broke too. They could have bought us a hamburger if they'd had any money. They were broke. We were broke. We were all in the same boat. So we split two Cokes. Four straws.
I'm here to tell you, your situation don't dictate your level of victory. One of the most memorable nights of our life. We still laugh about it to this day. He's a rich man now. He can buy all of us hamburgers, and I'm still trying. But I'm here to tell you that your situation, I don't care if you live wherever that you don't think you would have had to live. I'm here to tell you, most of us don't live there. God has been so good to us, most of us live way beyond what we were raised and born in. Most of us have escalated way beyond what we were when we started. And the Bible said, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He has blessed us in spite of ourselves. He has given us a bunch of stuff to entice us into the rest of it. He's saying, come unto me if you're still
worried, if you're still fearful, if you still got so much going on in your life, you don't think you can make it, come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden and burdened down. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to give you a comforter. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm going to give you a glory cloud. You're going to understand you didn't get where you are on your own.
I wish somebody said, we're going to pursue God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
What time is it?
Everybody reaching for their watch. It must be getting late. What?
Oh my, it is time to be over.
Whew. Let's stand. All over this building. I wish we'd bow our heads and ask God. God, I want the rest of what I got coming. I'm not talking about my heavenly inheritance. I'm not ready to leave the earth yet. Paul said, I have a desire to leave, but it's needful for some people on earth that I stay here. So I'm not asking you to pray ahead of God's schedule. God, take me out of this world. That's not what I'm asking. I'm just asking you to pray and ask God, give me what I need on this earth. What the rest of what I need to make my home, my future, everything. While the singers sing, this altar's open. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you've never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. If you've got sorrow in your life, it's not coming from the Holy Ghost. It's coming from this flesh in which dwells no good thing. And I am so sad to watch people walking through church doors, living in a place that's so close to the heavenlies, and still live without much hope at all. Hope maketh not ashamed. I don't care what your situation is. If you've got hope, you know that you're coming out of it. If you've got hope, you know that you're moving through it. Sing it, singers, would you? All over this building, we're praying in the Holy Ghost. We're going to spread hope through this city. We have listened to the prayers of men in the book. That's it. That's it.
I wouldn't trade you for riches untold.
Don't let your situation dictate your victory. Our victory is in Him. Our victory is in the Spirit.
You are
the love of my life.
You are. You're the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. Oh, yes you do, Jesus. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold.
I wouldn't let the response of anybody else make me feel comfortable with my response.
You mean
more than this world to me. Sing it in the Holy Ghost.
Oh Lord, you're the love of my life. Jesus,
you're
the hope that I cling to.
Oh, we ought to be rejoicing right now a little bit in Him. He's offered to every one of us a future that we have not yet walked into.
I thank him for every memory. But I'm not through growing. I'm not through moving forward.
I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. Wouldn't trade you.
I wouldn't trade you
for riches untold.
You mean
more than this world to me.
Father, I pray a prayer over this family. Let the seed be nurtured with the prayer of power of faith. I pray that the seed of your word will grow up in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. By the blood of the Lamb and by the victory of the resurrection. I pray upon every mother, daddy, father, son, everybody. In Jesus' name. Let the word work in every one of our life. In Christ's name. Shake hands. Be friendly.